don't really think Camilla ever wanted to be queen. Well, she certainly didn't envisage such a busy life at the age of 75. And she wasn't brought up to it. She's not used to sort of running down corridors at sort of 20 miles an hour and, you know, working every hour that the day gives. I mean, Camilla's used to a much more leisurely country life, so I think it's going to be quite hard for her. But the Queen saw the change in Camilla, and she saw her dedication to duty, and she also saw her dedication to Charles, because she so helps him.
The road to the palace hasn't been easy for the now Queen Camilla. Her Majesty has undergone a relentless campaign to correct her public image after a tumultuous opening act. After many years of service to the crown, it seems that the former Camilla Parker Bowles, turned Camilla Duchess of Cornwall, has recaptured the admiration of the world as she becomes Queen Camilla. It is no secret that the road to their eventual marriage and very public commitment was not an easy one for the king and queen. Camilla was, probably unfairly, deemed the villain in a story that captivated the nation. Camilla Shand was born on the 17th of July, 1947, daughter to Major Bruce Shand and Rosalind Cubitt, growing up alongside her brother and sister, Mark and Annabelle. Camilla's childhood was a very happy one. She was as happy mucking out a stable and grooming her horse as she was when socializing in the aristocratic circles of society. In the 1970s, Charles was known as one of the most eligible bachelors in the world. It was a predestined part of his responsibility as heir to the throne to marry a suitable, aristocratic young woman and to continue the line of succession. Lucia Santa Cruz, his first brief love affair, had decided that the bachelor prince would get on very well with a friend of hers, a young woman named Camilla Shand. The couple were introduced, and it's reported that Camilla said, "My great-grandmother was the mistress of your great-great-grandfather. So, how about it?" She was referring to her great-grandmother, Alice Keppel, the long-term mistress of Charles's great-great-grandfather, King Edward VII. Sparks flew as Charles was immediately attracted to her. Still, the electric romance was short-lived, as Camilla went on to marry Andrew Parker Bowles, an army officer, a man she had an on-off relationship with for several years, and with whom Princess Anne had had a brief affair before she herself married and settled down.
Well, Charles was in love with Camilla from a very early age. You know, when he was still in the Navy, he fell in love with Camilla. She was funny, she was a great rider, and she made him laugh. And I think that she's very, very attractive to both men and women because of her personality. She's got a wonderful personality. And you know, when Charles first met her, I mean, she didn't care what she looked like, but, you know, she was a great horsewoman. She was really sporty. And I suppose she was a challenge, too, because, you know, she was basically in love with Andrew Parker Bowles. So I think she had a lot of ingredients that Charles really, really fell in love with, and he never really fell out of love with her. So it is a very romantic story.
Charles was said to have been upset about their marriage, but he himself was not ready to tie the knot. And some of the more senior gray suits within the palace deemed the young Camilla to have too much history to be a suitable bride for the future king. Royal guests attended the Parker Bowles wedding, including the Queen Mother, Princess Margaret, and Princess Anne.
I think Charles was very, very hurt when Camilla and Andrew got married, and he stayed well out of it. He was away at sea, and he knew it was going to happen, but he just didn't want to be part of it. So he just stayed well out of the way, and I think he was very, very sad. Very sad about it, but he knew that probably there was nothing he could do about it.
The then Prince Charles remained close with Mr. and Mrs. Parker Bowles. He and Andrew would play polo together, and Charles was also asked to be godfather to their son, Tom. It is said that in 1979, after the death of Lord Louis Mountbatten, Charles turned to Camilla for a comforting shoulder, and they rekindled a spark from many years ago. However, after he decided to marry Diana, he and Camilla parted ways romantically until, as Charles himself said, the relationship became irretrievably broken down. In the years that followed, scandal after scandal would come to haunt Charles and Camilla. Charles's marriage to Lady Diana Spencer, in which the public invested their hearts, fell apart as their incompatibilities came to light. One by one, tapes, books, and interviews were released, detailing the unhappy marriage between the royal couple. Charles and Diana separated in 1992 and later divorced. It was also the beginning of the end of the union between Andrew and Camilla Parker Bowles, who later divorced.
Camilla was in a very, very unpleasant situation. She was almost became a prisoner in her own home. She was vilified. She was absolutely hated by everyone. I mean, actually, the Queen felt very sorry for her. She called her that much maligned woman. Because, you know, they've known the Parker Bowleses all their life. You know, Andrew's father was a great friend of the Queen Mother, and they were all acquaintances. So the Queen felt desperately sad for Camilla, and it was a very, very, very difficult time for her, especially after Diana died. I mean, then she was even more of a prisoner.
With both marriages ending, the path was free for Charles and Camilla to continue their relationship. But that path would not be easy. Diana was tragically killed in August of 1997. The nation went into mourning for the beloved princess, a terrible loss for the world, but mostly for Charles's two young sons, William and Harry. To begin parading their relationship in public would certainly not bode well with the public. Campaign Camilla would have to be put on hold. So they kept their relationship to themselves, away from the media and prying eyes. This period was very challenging for Camilla. She lived a very closeted life, hiding away from an angry and grieving public who still viewed her as the villain that broke the fairy tale. Mark Bolland has been appointed to help with Charles's public image, and Camilla was going to play a part in that. So he worked with them both to enhance their profiles. Operation Ritz, an opportunity that would tempt the media circus and give them the picture for which they had all been waiting. In 1999, Charles and Camilla decided enough time had passed since Diana's death to reveal their commitment to each other as a couple.
Well, Charles is a great believer that time is a healer, and he is, in essence, right. And he thought, if we take it very gently, we'll get it right, and people will accept Camilla because she's wonderful, and people have accepted Camilla, but it did take a long time. And there's a lot of people that will never accept her. But it did take a long time, and they did it very gradually. Then they became under so much pressure for the first picture of them together. And they thought of all different ways of doing it. Maybe they just should release a picture of them together. Maybe they should arrange for them to be out somewhere and press would just happen to be there. But in the end, they decided to do it at Camilla's sister's birthday party at the Ritz, and their press officer let everybody know that they would be walking out of the party together. So there was an unbelievable bank of photographers, and even now when they show this moment, they put a warning on television, flash photography. It was just like crazy.
Outside the Ritz, they're ready for one of the shots of the year. Charles and Camilla together at last. Tonight, it's expected the couple will leave a birthday party together, finally acknowledging in public a relationship that started back in the 70s.
If you ask any photographer which the picture they want to take, it's Prince Charles with Camilla Parker Bowles. It's the one great picture left to take.
How important is it not to miss the shot?
Oh, it's you can't afford to miss it. You know, you've got to get the two of them together walking down those steps. If you get that, you're there.
The Prince of Wales and Camilla Parker Bowles about to come out now. The Prince of Wales and Camilla Parker Bowles seen together in public quite clearly, coming down the steps of the Ritz after the party for the 50th birthday party for Camilla's sister. No secret about their relationship now, none possible at all. The photograph that people have waited so long, the picture that people have waited so long to see. Quite brief, really, out of the doors, down the steps, into the car, and driving away. Absolute cascade of flashbulbs, only a few seconds, but the picture, the scene that says so much.
Well, the public have been longing to see them together, so I think they liked that. But there was a huge animosity to Camilla, especially in America, where they love Diana, and still do. You know, in America, everything's about glamour and how you look, and they just thought, well, she's not glamorous enough. And they didn't think that maybe she was exactly the sort of woman that Prince Charles needed, because they didn't really know him.
It is well known that courtiers disapproved of Charles and Camilla's relationship. And so, too, did Charles's mother, Queen Elizabeth. With so much negative attention from the press, and lowering public opinion of Charles, the then future king, it is hardly surprising that their relationship was difficult to accept. While the monarchy does not rely on a public vote, public opinion matters very much. However, as the new millennium began, relationships warmed, and knowing Camilla would be there, the queen accepted an invitation to attend the 60th birthday party of the King of Greece at Highgrove. This was their first public meeting together, and a sign that she was beginning to accept the relationship.
Prince Charles was in the driving seat this morning as he left Highgrove, knowing the road is now officially clear for him to continue his relationship with Camilla Parker Bowles. He's said to be delighted that the Queen has finally acknowledged his long-term companion.
The first glimpse into the couple's affectionate side was in 2001. When Charles and Camilla shared their first public kiss at an event for the National Osteoporosis Society at Somerset House in London.
Camilla greeted Charles with a kiss. It was the first time the couple had shown such affection in public. Also at the reception, some 300 guests, including ex-King Constantine of Greece and his wife Anne-Marie, whom Camilla knows well.
Giving her open blessing to the relationship, the Queen invited Camilla to her Golden Jubilee celebrations in 2002. Following the death of the Queen Mother in 2002, Charles moved into Clarence House following a significant refurbishment, as it had not been decorated for 50 years, with rooms for William and Harry on the top floor. A room and ensuite were also refurbished and made ready for Camilla.
As Prince Charles left, there was a warm handshake for Camilla's son and a kiss for her daughter. The couple tonight are entertaining back at St. James's Palace.
Family has always been important to Camilla. Growing up in idyllic circumstances in Plumpton in East Sussex, Her desire to give her own children a happy English childhood was a very high priority. Camilla and Andrew had made a home for themselves in Wiltshire and had two children, Thomas Henry, born in December 1974, and Laura Rose, born in January 1978. For one reason or another, the media has portrayed Camilla as being less than an ideal mother, but her son Tom has been quick to defend her, expressing how he always feels happy and safe when he goes home, as she cooks the food he likes and they all laugh and joke together. He obviously adores and appreciates his mother. As she entered into the realm of possible stepmother to William and Harry, the world speculated about the boy's feelings towards Camilla and what that relationship might look like. It is said that the boy's relationship with Camilla took time to grow gently. She was part of a story that involved the breakup of their family, so it was quite natural for it to be a little awkward at first. However, over time, the boys took to Camilla, seeing how their father benefited so much from the loving relationship and witnessing how happy she made him.
They've waited long enough, but tonight they emerged as a couple soon to be wed. If you've been together this long, you've perhaps a right to demand a ring worth waiting for. And in this regard, the royal family doesn't disappoint. Camilla sported a whopping diamond upon her finger, and she was clearly on a high.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much indeed.
Can I
say
a
ring?
Right?
You can have a
quest. Congratulations.
How are you feeling?
How are you feeling, ma'am?
All right.
Just all right.
I'm just coming down to earth.
Did he get down on one knee to propose?
Of course. What else?
After several years of brief appearances at small events, seeding the public imagination in the possibility of a marriage between Charles and Camilla, it was finally announced in February 2005 that they were engaged to be married, 35 years after they had first met.
Your Royal Highness, 8 days now to the wedding. Can I ask you how you are feeling, how in particular Princes William and Harry are feeling at the prospect of the marriage?
Very happy, very pleased. Good day.
Prince Charles, how are you feeling?
Very nice, sir. Very glad you're here.
Prince William, can I just ask you, are you looking forward to being a witness?
Yes, very much so, definitely. As long as I don't lose the rings, I'm all right. Yeah. With one responsibility, I'm bound to do something wrong.
I think it's very difficult to know William and Harry's relationship with Camilla. I think that they certainly didn't. And then William was the first one to meet Camilla, which was slightly by accident. He met her at St. James's Palace, where his father was living at the time. And he, I think, you know, Camilla just didn't interfere in their lives, and I think they really warmed to her.
No, she is, she's a wonderful woman, and she's made our father very, very happy, which is the most important thing. William and I love her to bits, get on really well with her. And as far as I see it, nothing's changed. I'm not around that much, I'm at Sandhurst. William's just finished university, now he's doing a bit of work here and there, so we're not around that much anyway. But when we are around, everyone's happy, everyone's fine, you know.
Well, of course, it's absolutely wonderful news, and all of us, the whole family, are delighted. I don't think one wants to say much more than that, but I'm very happy to reiterate this.
Princes William and Harry also said today in a statement that they were both very happy for their father and Camilla and wished them all the luck in the future.
Their wedding date was scheduled for the 8th of April 2005, but unfortunately, another obstacle stopped them in their path. Pope John Paul II died, and Charles was expected to attend the funeral on behalf of the Queen. The wedding was postponed until the following day. Finally, the big day arrived. On the 9th of April 2005, Charles and Camilla married in a civil ceremony at Windsor Guildhall, with Prince William as best man. After a 35-year courtship, two marriages and two divorces, Charles and Camilla finally wed. A day so many thought would not be possible.
Well, the Queen felt that as head of the church, she shouldn't be seen to be attending the ceremony. They got married in the town hall in Windsor, and the Queen very wisely said she wouldn't attend the ceremony, but she would attend the blessing in the church and she would give a reception. But William and Harry were at the ceremony and other people supporting them there. It was very, very small and it was very intimate.
Sadly, Camilla's brother, Mark Shand, died an untimely and accidental death in New York in 2014. After celebrating the success of a fundraising campaign for a conservation charity, he fell and hit his head on the pavement. He was taken to the hospital, but sadly died. It came as a great shock to Camilla, her sister Annabelle, and to Charles, who were all utterly devastated by the loss. Charles and Camilla took over the work he was doing, becoming joint royal presidents of the charity.
My brother, who founded the charity, I think if he saw all these elephants now scattering across the southwest of England, he'd be so proud. I don't think he died having raised a lot of money for the charity, and my husband and I took it on. I don't think he would have believed how well it could have. It's gone from strength to strength, and I'm just really proud to be part of it. I'm really proud that we've been able, with the help of Ruth, who's absolutely fantastic, to bring it to this level.
Camilla very rarely speaks about personal matters to the press, but many years after the scandals with Charles and Diana, she said, "I couldn't really go anywhere. It was horrid. It was a deeply unpleasant time, and I wouldn't want to put my worst enemy through it. I couldn't have survived it without my family." Camilla has won great respect from the press and media for never reacting to stories or trying to correct the many falsehoods about her. In 2016, Camilla was appointed to the Privy Council, along with Prince William, the statutory body which advises the monarch on state matters. It is clear that she takes her responsibilities very seriously, and she is devoted to her role. En route to becoming queen, Camilla's role and title was Duchess of Cornwall. The role of Duchess of Cornwall comes with many responsibilities. Of course, she must support her husband, but it has become an expectation that, as a duchess, she uses her influence for good in her own charitable endeavors. Camilla's approach was gentle. She did not rush into supporting many different charities, but she took her time and found organizations that she felt she could help raise awareness and funding when needed. Camilla's first patronage was the Royal Osteoporosis Society, though her work with the charity actually began in 1994. Unfortunately, Camilla's mother suffered from osteoporosis, and the disease led to her untimely death. Her grandmother had also died of the illness.
I think she now feels that the time is perhaps right to risk a little bit more publicity so that it will benefit the charity. And I think she's wonderful to do that because obviously over the years she's suffered greatly at the hands of the media. And I think she's very brave to be a little more public on our behalf.
My mother was only 72. Then, only 8 years ago, osteoporosis was seldom discussed, rarely diagnosed, and usually attributed to old women with so-called dowager's humps. My family knew nothing about osteoporosis. The local GP was kind and sympathetic, But he, like us, was able to do little to alleviate the terrible pain my mother suffered so stoically. We watched in horror as she quite literally shrunk in front of our eyes. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the quality of her life became so dismal and her suffering so unbearable that she just gave up the fight and lost the will to live. As a result of my mother's death, I became determined to find some way of helping people with osteoporosis from experiencing the same fate and general disregard that she encountered. I was lucky enough to discover on my doorstep the National Osteoporosis Society.
The work the charity was doing was close to Camilla's heart, and she remains heavily involved with the charity, becoming its patron and then president. Camilla is also keen to fight illiteracy, working with organizations such as the National Literacy Trust, Book Trust, and Beanstalk, keenly encouraging a love of reading in young people. Her own Instagram feed is very focused on books and reading.
Right, everybody, I'm going to put you book called Dog Love.
Camilla has a personal interest in animals, and so naturally looked to organizations she could work with which protect the welfare of animals. She is patron of the British Equestrian Foundation, the Kennel Club Charitable Trust, Battersea Dogs and Cats Home, and more.
Well, I think Camilla's repaired her reputation by just being very patient. I'm just taking it very slowly. She didn't do too many royal engagements to begin with. She walked, you know, she was always letting Prince Charles take the bow, if you like. You know, he was always in front. It's only really, and probably in the last couple of years, that she's really ranked up her engagements and her patronages and become much more high profile. But I think she's very much, we still feel that she is there for her husband.
She has also shown a particular interest in helping charities and organizations that fight against sexual violence and domestic abuse. Camilla has been praised for her ability to help make victims feel safe and relaxed, and happy to share their stories and experiences.
Geeta, it's not her real name, was raped in Hackney at the age of 15. She'd been using drugs to try and forget until she got help.
I felt so dirty, like no one would want me. I had names and horrible comments. The service made me realise it wasn't my fault, that I wasn't to blame. Now I don't have to use anything to numb the pain. I can talk to someone instead and try and choose a better path for myself.
Today, thanks to the East London Rape Crisis Service, she was well enough to tell her story to the Duchess of Cornwall, who came to visit the new health centre in Ilford, one of four rape crisis clinics supported by the Mayor's Office, but whose long-term future is under threat due to budget cuts.
Well, I'm very pleased the Duchess of Cornwall has been able to turn up because she gives it a lift. She helps us to publicise something that is so important for women across London, because victims of rape and sexual violence have got to know that there is somewhere they can come where they're going to be secure, where they can talk to people.
Camilla is always keen to think of ways to help and use her influence for good. Typically, rape victims undergo forensic testing, where they have their clothes taken away and are given basic products to wash with. Camilla came up with the neat idea to give them a small wash bag filled with lovely aromatic products. It was a small gesture, but it made a big difference.
Home Secretary, ministers, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Clarence House, and thank you all very much for coming. I know how busy you are, so I'm completely indebted to you coming here today. Now, the purpose of asking you all here today is to try and form a united front to help victims of rape and sexual abuse.
And what difference does it make having the Duchess's endorsement for something like this?
I think the Duchess's endorsement is really significant. To have
someone like the Duchess saying, this is an important issue, I want to hold a reception like this, bringing these people together and making some strong statements, is really significant.
And it was a strong statement, a sort of exhortation she made in her final sentence of her speech. How can that sort of aspiration be achieved? I mean, is that possible?
It is possible. It's really hard work. She's absolutely right that more needs to be done. It is aspirational, but it's up to us to get on and deliver. Important work's been done. We're heading in the right direction, but there's a lot more to be done. And so strong words are very important in this environment.
So I conclude, ladies and gentlemen, with the hope that this reception will draw you all together from every corner of the country to share your expertise and experiences. And perhaps from this small beginning, we'll be able to build a future where society will simply not tolerate rape and sexual abuse any longer. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Charles and Camilla do a great deal of work together, too. They have become important ambassadors for the United Kingdom. In their overseas tours, requested by the Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office, they work hard in maintaining diplomatic ties with countries across the globe. It is an essential and incredibly valuable role they play. For Camilla, this was no easy thing. She wasn't the most keen traveler. Unable to sleep on trains and fearful of flying, the transition to becoming a fully fledged Duchess was a tiring one and an enormous change from her quiet family life.
She's working very hard now. I think she found it very difficult in the beginning because the Windsors have this amazing energy and she came into the royal family age 50. So it's been quite difficult for her. But I think they're wonderful together. And you can see, you know, I think in that royal world, you really can't be on your own. It's very, very difficult. And, you know, she is the perfect person to stand at Prince Charles's side.
Their first foreign tour was to America in 2005. Many comparisons were being made to previous tours by Charles and Diana. But to the great relief of all concerned, the trip was very successful, with Camilla being warmly welcomed by the American public, who really appreciated her down-to-earth attitude. Their first stop was at Ground Zero in New York.
Last night saw the first true test of this royal visit, a high-profile reception at New York's Museum of Modern Art. A cross-section of people attended, including some celebrities and the city's elite.
I think she's got a great sense of humor and you need it, so.
Yesterday, they began their tour with a gesture that will be widely appreciated in America, a visit to Ground Zero. The Duchess on her inaugural foreign trip, laying flowers at the site where nearly 3,000 people died on that September day. In enduring memory of our shared grief, the royal couple wrote, and all around them, the memories of lives lost. 67 Britons were killed on September the 11th, and Prince Charles and Camilla dedicated a small garden to their memory.
Both my wife and I were profoundly moved by what we saw there, and I think it is so fitting that their lives will be commemorated in this garden.
If over the next week Americans tune in to this visit at all, their curiosity will be centered on Camilla.
In recent years, following the height of the coronavirus pandemic, the then Prince and Duchess were the first members of the royal family to undertake an overseas tour when they traveled to Jordan and Egypt and were welcomed by old friends, King Abdullah II and Queen Rania. On the 70th anniversary of Queen Elizabeth's accession to the throne, Her Majesty released a statement saying, "And when, in the fullness of time, my son Charles becomes king, I know you will give him and his wife Camilla the same support that you have given me. And it is my sincere wish, when that time comes, Camilla will be known as Queen Consort as she continues her own loyal service."
But just one note of caution. In our right to speak freely, please let us not become
too politically correct. Because surely political correctness is as severe a form of censorship as any.
After years of speculation on the title Camilla may take, the Queen had personally shown her appreciation for Camilla's work and her loyalty to the crown. Wishing that she take the title many thought she once did not deserve, Queen Consort. The 8th of September 2022 marked the death of Queen Elizabeth II. The great Elizabethan era drew to a close, a pivotal day for both Charles and Camilla. Every step of the way, Camilla has stood by Charles's side, supporting him and the family in a time of tremendous grief and mourning. Traveling across the nation, the King and Queen spent the days following Queen Elizabeth's death, greeting and thanking the public for their support. Charles was proclaimed King Charles III, and Camilla his Queen Consort. A day so many thought impossible, now accepted by the public.
Outside the royal court, the state trumpets sound. Before rolling news, the role of this part of the ceremony was to spread the word to a waiting nation.
The Prince Charles Philip Arthur George is now, by the death of our late sovereign of happy memory, become our only lawful and rightful liege lord, Charles III.
Arms! God save the King!
God save the King!
In his first televised broadcast as king, Charles commented on his wife's support and how pleased he was to have her by his side.
This is also a time of change for my family. I count on the loving help of my darling wife, Camilla. In recognition of her own loyal public service since our marriage 17 years ago, she becomes my Queen Consort. I know she will bring to the demands of her new role the steadfast devotion to duty on which I have come to rely so much.
Enter Charles III, accompanied by Queen Consort Camilla. This ceremonial pomp is the Constitution visualized, bringing together the Crown, the House of Commons, and the House of Lords.
Your Majesty, even as we mourn the loss of our dear Queen, we and future generations will draw strength from her shining example. Your Majesty, on behalf of all the members of the House of Lords, I pledge my loyalty to you.
In May 2023, the first coronation for 70 years will take place in Westminster Abbey. Both the King and Queen Consort will be crowned in this ancient ceremony.
Well, as far as I understand, the coronation will be a lot shorter than the Queen's, in keeping with the times. I don't think anyone would have the patience to watch 3 hours of coronation this day. So I think it will probably be just over an hour. It'll be smaller and it will be cheaper, which of course is very important. But I still think it will have the pomp and circumstance that Charles loves so much, and we all love so much. Everybody was just saying how beautiful the Queen's funeral was because of that unity of military and horses and soldiers and precision that we have. And the coronation will be very, very much part of that. Well, I don't really think Camilla ever wanted to be queen. She certainly didn't envisage such a busy life at the age of 75. And she wasn't brought up to it. She's not used to sort of running down corridors at sort of 20 miles an hour and, you know, working every hour that the day gives. I mean, Camilla's used to a much more leisurely country life, so I think it's going to be quite hard for her. But the Queen saw the change in Camilla, and she saw her dedication to duty, and she also saw her dedication to Charles, because she so helps him.
Despite the setbacks, Camilla Parker Bowles became Camilla Duchess of Cornwall, and now Queen Camilla. An incredible story, from a difficult opening act to a flourishing finale. This is a story of devotion, love, and redemption.